Above and beyond the tri-D hung others like it, each displaying sets of teeth. This is your collection, then?
Predator species. I have 17 worlds, including the Bakurin Crutch, and the most dangerous predator.
He tossed her a multifaceted crystal. Inside gleamed two pair of human incisors. She wanted to throw it at him. I hope you can add a set of Siruk teeth soon. She tried to sound cool. He cleared his throat.
I prefer taking specimens from individuals I have hunted down myself, of course. The rebel princess seems to have left my hospitality for the moment. She must be punished for defying orders. My dental specialist is not gentle.
Fiend, she thought. She'd play along for now, but Wylock Nereus would pay for his crimes. She swallowed hard to choke down a cough. This was the wrong time to catch a virus. What did the Empire do to Madame Belden? She asked to distract him. He smiled slowly.
Madame Belden was scheduled for termination. Her husband agreed to permanent incapacitation as the price of keeping her companionship.
Gariel clenched her hands. Orne Belden had agreed?
And evidently she submitted in order to protect him. We used a tiny creature native to the Jospro sector, which parasitizes the neocortex of the brain. Go ahead and cough, my dear. Your forehead is turning pink.
I don't need to. She gulped. He folded his hands on the ivory desktop.
How much of that meal did you share with Commander Skywalker?
The pit of her stomach turned to lead. What do you mean?
I intercepted your request for a meal and had Skywalker's main dish inoculated at the kitchens. The Olabrian tricoid lays pods of 3 eggs in ripening fruit. Larvae hatch in a host's stomach, then migrate to the lungs while the host sleeps. They remain there for a day or two while they grow and the mouth parts develop. Then they start nibbling toward the heart.
She seemed to feel something growing inside her.
Don't worry. The larva is extremely susceptible to pure oxygen. You're almost instantly curable.
For about the next hour. He touched a key on his desktop.
Medic, bring kit CD-12.
So, I got it instead of Skywalker. If so, at least Luke stood a chance up there.
No. Remember, 3 eggs in each pod. He definitely carries 2. Be proud of your friend, Gariel. Through him, the Siruk fleet may become infested.
The medic entered with an oxygen mask, which he placed over her nose and mouth. After breathing into it for a few minutes, she was able to spit out an egg. Repulsed, she gripped her knees. May I have a drink of water? He called for one. Once she'd sipped it and the medic had left carrying his specimen jar, she said, I understand there's going to be a battle. May I observe it from your war room?
No need to go anywhere.
He fiddled with his desk console. A small but detailed hologram of near space appeared over his desk. He bent down, reached into a desk compartment, and raised a sealed bottle of Nemana nectar.
To celebrate the Imperial victory,
he said with a flourish.
Dev's heart rate accelerated as the shuttle approached the orbiting Imperial defense web. Peering out the shuttle's main viewport, he could see slower shuttles docking with orbiting ships. Humans were scrambling for battle. Directly in front of him, Blue Scale, Firwurung, and the others warbled among themselves. They sat on the shuttle's deck, curled around the front seats. This craft looked like any other Imperial ship shuttling its crew to an orbiting cruiser. When the shuttle landed in the docking bay of the Shwirur, Dev volunteered to carry the unconscious Jedi inside. He had tried repeatedly to communicate with him, but Skywalker seemed completely unable to hear. Entechment circuitry worked only on conscious individuals. There would be a few seconds at least.
You'll have to move quickly, Dev thought hard at the helpless Jedi. They're not going to create any openings.
He carried the prisoner into the spacious entechment lab. The new entechment platform bed stood against a bulkhead near the old standard chair.
Now's the time, Dev exclaimed through the force. They'll have you trapped if you don't move now.
Skywalker did not respond. Sorrowing, Dev steadied the Jedi as Firwurung pressed Skywalker against the table. Restraints snapped around his ankles and waist, but his arms dangled away from the trip panels. Firwurum pressed them into place. The bed tipped backward with its captive. The hatch slid open. Blue Scale swept in and marched to Dev's side.
The Jedi human will be unconscious for some time, you guess?
Dev spread his hands. It will be difficult to wait, Elder. Blue Scale turned his massive head to fix Dev with one hypnotic black eye, then whistled what Dev had dreaded to hear.
You are in desperate need of renewal.
Wait, exclaimed Firwurung. Dev has served us well. Let us reward him. He stroked the old entechment chair.
Sit down, Dev. There is time. I will place the IVs and lower the catchment arc myself, exactly as I promised.
Dev's tongue swelled like pillow stuffing. His fawning hadn't convinced any of them. How hideously had he acted all these years?
Don't you smell yourself?
Blue Scale sang softly. So that was how they'd caught him. Seizing his last free moment, he jumped for Skywalker. His good hand and his aching one closed on the helpless Jedi's throat. I need nothing, he cried. You'll never... Lights went out in the chamber. Words died in his throat. The weak-minded little Kuwek Luke had been controlling honked confusion with the rest of them, not realizing its tail had crushed the control board and extinguished cabin lights. Luke only hoped that he'd also disabled the abominable alien machines. He could tell the aliens from Dev by their presences, even in the dark. One potent individual tramped toward a power-locked hatchway. Luke had already unlatched his bonds with the Force. Dev, get under something. They'll trample you.
Right.
Dev's voice sounded giddy with elation. From a safe spot near the bulkhead, Luke stretched out his right hand and visualized his lightsaber. It had to be close. Less than a second later, its satisfying weight arrived. He extended the saber's blade. The chamber lit eerie green, and the aliens' alarmed whistles rose to shrieks. Two black eyes reflected the saber a moment before it sliced below them. Another alien bellowed. Luke spun and decapitated it. Big Blue finally kicked the hatch in and escaped. Another followed him into the bright corridor.
Now what?
Jev shouted.
Stay low!
Three mechanical shapes that resembled R2 appeared in the hatchway. The first droid rushed him. He sliced it diagonally with the saber and reached for the others with the Force. One fired a pair of stun bolts at him. He deflected one bolt back towards his attacker and the other at its partner. Both overloaded and switched off. But a weird stench in the Force, like the presence of a soul half decayed, only faded slightly. The cruiser reeked in his senses, permeated with stolen human energies. Dev crept out from behind the grim chair. Glimmers of dark side energy lingered around it from thousands of victims' terrorized agony. Dev's pale brown skin looked olive green by the saber's light, and he gripped a paddle beamer with both hands. Perspiration ran down Luke's face, even with his mind relaxed into the Force. Are onboard control systems powered by human energies, too? Dev's frown deepened.
I don't know. I've never thought about it. It's possible.
I can feel it. Can you take me to the engineering sector?
Anne got the Millennium Falcon where Commander Thanis wanted her. The Falcon dipped and dove while he chased down droid fighters and poured energy into their miserably strong shields. They came at him so thickly that he managed to fry a few with the Falcon's engine blast. But where was Luke? Three Imperial TIE fighters swooped overhead. They might be on his side, but Han didn't trust Commander Thanis 1 minute longer than the Fluties lasted. Caught in the middle of an invasion maneuver, one big Saruk vessel had already launched a dozen landing craft. Sluggish and underpowered, those had made a poor first ring of offense. Han couldn't tell if the Imperials' demp guns were working. His vector took him close to a big Flutie cruiser, one of three slowly moving in on Bakura.
Luke's in there, on board that big cruiser.
Leia's voice, carried on both of Han's headphone channels, seemed to sound between his ears.
Quick, put out word to our forces that it's not to be attacked.
Look at that,
someone exclaimed. Once the two-tone Flutie jamming stopped, and he could hear the inter-squad frequency again. Shuttles and escape pods popped off the Saruk cruiser like snap rivets from a stressed coolant vane.
You were right. Luke's in there.
Luke and Dev crept through a cramped spiral ramp toward the 18th deck where the engineering area was. Luke's sense of urgency grew stronger. Whenever they encountered a place where human energy had been trapped to power the ship, Luke set it free with his saber. They reached a junction. Their corridor went forward, slowly curving to the right, but another, narrower opening branched right more sharply. "Ambush!" Luke's senses shouted. Cautiously, he stepped around the corner to the right, pressed against the bulkhead, then turned to listen behind a broad metal hatch. Dev's choked cry whirled Luke around in time to see a broad hatch in the floor slide open. A Puwek leapt through, seized the boy from behind, and brandished a claw at his throat. Dev ducked and fired his paddle beamer over one shoulder. The Puwek collapsed, leaving a thin trail of red blood across Dev's neck. Guided by his subconscious, Luke whirled and slashed behind him. Two more Puweks had appeared as if from thin air. They fell wounded and shrieking, but others lurked in an opening where he'd seen no hatchway. They pelted him with diffused blue blaster bolts. They were still shooting to stun. His saber deflected bolts onto bulkheads and alien flesh. Dev cried out and fell to the deck. Luke hadn't seen or felt anything hit him. "Dev!" he shouted. The massive blue alien dove toward Luke through the broad hatch. It fired a steady silver beam. Dev lunged up from the deck. From behind Big Blue, he fired his paddle beamer into the base of its tail. The alien twisted its upper body toward Dev and fell limp-legged. Luke dashed forward, brandishing his saber. Ducking the silvery beam, Dev pressed his paddle to Blue's head and fired. The creature honked, then screamed. The scream ended in a gurgle. Dev zigzagged his beamer across its head. The aliens retreated up both curving corridors. Luke relaxed, coughing a little. Deep in his throat, something tickled. In Dev's eyes, Luke saw pain, guilt, and triumph. "Who was that?" "He controlled me." Dev stared at the gray deck tiles. "But Fearwurrung was my master. The small brown with the V on his head, the one whose foreclaw you severed. Fearwurrung is the really dangerous one. We're all dead if he catches you, everyone, everywhere." "Why? He didn't seem to be in charge." "No, but he runs the Entekments. He meant to force you to entek other humans from a distance. The Siruk want to enslave the whole galaxy."
"Well, let's get the job done before more of them show up."
Engineering was a jumble of controls and conduits, but Luke had no trouble finding the master display panel. This locus created a gargoyle imitation of life so powerful, so horribly twisted that he flinched. 100 intermingled energies seethed at his subliminal senses. Freshly intact energies writhed frantically within the numb, frayed ribbons of others' nearly spent volition. Luke swung his saber through the console, then shifted his body and reversed the stroke. The gargoyle cacophony fell silent. He took a long, slow look around. The chamber and the ship felt clean at last. However, now the Shriwer was crippled. He coughed again. They had life support, weapons, and communication. No med packs, though. Nothing for strained leg muscles, and no breath mask to filter out whatever was irritating his lungs.
"Let's get to a shuttle."
He pushed off from the control panel. Dev led him to three giant shuttle bays. Every flyer port and escape pod crane lay empty.
"Abandoned ship," Luke muttered. "Escape the terrible Jedi and his mighty apprentice."
Dev swept out his arms. "Then this is our lifeboat. I'll take you to the bridge."
"Sorry about the demp guns,"
Han crowed at Commander Thanis. Both had misfired, disabling the patrol craft, and he wasn't sorry at all. Good thing he hadn't gotten one for the Falcon.
"Casualties of war. As is Commander Skywalker, it seems. I am sorry. I admired his capabilities."
"Don't count Luke out," Leia said tightly.
"Your Highness, if the Siruk retreat, we are now specifically ordered to destroy that cruiser."
"Why?"
"Contagion, General. I wasn't told specifics."
"Leave it alone for now, Commander. You're not retreating yet." She didn't believe that contagion line any more than Han did. Governor Nereus just wanted revenge. Combined Alliance and Imperial forces had almost closed an arc around two more alien cruisers, but the aliens resisted. Black space sparkled with ships, shields, and energy as the Siruk concentrated firepower on Alliance ships that occupied key attack points.
"Dominant to Falcon, close up that gap at 022.
Han spun his ship to face solar north. The gap in question was big enough to send a Star Destroyer through.
"Got it covered," Han answered Commander Thanis. "Red Group, the rest of you follow me."
After the Falcon, like a flock of chicks, sped 4 X-Wings and 5 TIE fighters. An hour later, Han was still dodging collision debris and approaching exhaustion. Thanis drove his pilots hard, but the battle was his. A sensor lit. Massive communications had abruptly started to flow between Flutie ships. Han's sideboard screen flashed a single message. Disengage, full retreat. Disengage, full retreat. Disengage. 3PO, down in the cargo bay, was listening to the Fluties and translating. Han slapped his control board madly, cutting Imperial ships out of his transmission channels. Over the inter-squad channel, he ordered, Alliance ships! The Fluties are getting out! Full shields, watch the Imperials! All squadron leaders, get your ships away from the Imperial fighters! Manchisco, you're in the dominance range, get out of it! They're retreating? What about Luke? Leia exclaimed. We can't fire on that cruiser.
And we're not shooting at the Imperials before they fire on it. There wasn't much future for a smuggler with a conscience.
The Falcon shuddered from beam lamps to hyperdrive. Han leapt back from momentarily ionized controls. Chewbacca snarled in his ears. Lights splashed the starfield in front of him. A second blast from the Dominant. Han blinked.
Flurry? Manchisco? Manchisco, you there?
The Flurry was static and debris.
They got her. Han clenched a fist at Thanis.
Thanks for nothing, Thanis.
Over to inter-squad.
That's it. You all saw it. The Empire just broke off our truce. We're back at war, us against them. Remember the Death Star.
Garriel whooped as the Siruk fleet fled, but within a minute, all the Silver Alliance ship dots on Governor Nereus's projection turned red. One by one, they began darkening. She gasped and sprang off her chair. They're not! Wylik Nereus rolled his nectar goblet stem between his heavy fingers.
Not what, Senator?
Turning on... attacking the rebels! Not only that, but she had to assume that the retreating Siruk still held Luke prisoner, and he was dying without knowing it. A comlink beeped.
Yes?
Nereus called.
Sir, our sensors show 30 people gathered at the intersection of 10th Circle and High Street, with more approaching.
What are you bothering me for? Suppress it!
He snapped. Governor Nereus cut the connection and then sipped from his goblet.
Rebel assistance is already in the past. Now we must think of the future. What would Bakura suffer if Imperial Command learned that we accepted aid from rebel forces?
Han didn't need anyone to tell him they were losing. He'd managed to gather several X-Wings and an A-Wing into a moderately effective formation, but no matter how he and his shipmates used the Falcon's armaments, one arc at a time, Commander Thanis closed a tight classic globe.
We're all dead, every ship in the battle group, Han said, unless somebody comes up with something brilliant and fast.
We're starting to leave Luke out of the equation.
Maybe he is out. Thanis' drift vector's gonna take him right past that Flutie cruiser.
From his post in the gun turret, the Wookiee had overheard their conversation. Something in the pattern in front of Han sparked his memory of a gaming table long ago and far, far away. Something brilliant.
But if we could take the Dominant, our fighters might be able to break out and scatter.
Sure. How? Look where that Imperial patrol craft's hanging, the one about 16 degrees north. If we dropped back about 20 degrees and rammed it, it'd squirt out of formation and hit the Dominant hard aft. The Falcon's the only ship we've got left with enough mass to carry it off. Thanis deserves his behind cooked. Count on you to try a carom shot on a Carrick-class cruiser. Han keyed the comm.
Listen up. Form up behind the Falcon and get ready to break for open space.
Leia swung into the cockpit. Han glanced at her, frowned, then waved one soot-streaked hand gallantly at the co-pilot's seat. Little gestures like that made her love him. Thank you.
Chewie wants to ride it out in the turret, he explained.
I understand. Han started shunting power away from all systems except a few, thrusters, four shields, and the upper gun turret.
Okay, he said, that's programmed. Now we get you to the escape pod.
Oh, no, she retorted. I'm a Skywalker, too. Maybe this is my destiny. Wouldn't this be perfect justice? Vader's daughter ramming an Imperial ship for the sake of the Alliance. Finally, she could think about Darth Vader without flinching.
Watch this, father.
Luke and Dev finished their circuit of the Shriwur's bridge. All the equipment was covered with alien symbols, and Dev didn't know how to work it. Luke was also trying to follow the battle through the Force, although his strength was weakening. He reached out to check on Leia. Her determination to face certain destruction caught him off guard. Ramming? In the Falcon? Luke tumbled down to the deck and ignored Dev's questions, ignored everything. He had only seconds. He sent his awareness questing across space for a presence he knew only faintly, Commander Pater Thanos. Thanos's thoughts, will, and worldview surrounded him. This battle was only a game, but a game he must win or finish his life in a slave mine? That explained plenty. Abruptly, Luke lost contact. He doubled over, coughing, trapped by his weakening body on the hard, cold deck of the Shriwur. Sir? Thanos's pilot looked up worriedly. Is something wrong? Pater Thanos blinked. For some reason, the image of Luke Skywalker had sprung into his mind. Dismissing it, he made a difficult decision. He must destroy the threat of contagion, no matter what it cost him. The Dominant kept closing, growing perceptibly larger in the viewport. Dev, is this cruiser armed? Luke asked.
I assume so.
Dev reached down a hand.
Find the weapons station.
Luke let Dev pull him up off the deck. Luke stared out the viewport. The Dominant blasted another X-Wing.
I trusted you, Thanos. I trusted you.
Alien presences snagged his attention from above on another deck.
I found weaponry, Dev cried. You've got an ion cannon online, I think. Try aiming it with that wheel key. Hurry.
Luke glanced up at the overhead panel. The Dominant would be in range within minutes. He swiveled the keyboard into line with Dev's battle array. First target. He rolled the wheel key and fired. Nothing happened on Dev's screen. He relaxed deeper into the Force and shot again.
There!
Dev pointed at a visible trail through battle debris. One of the Shriwur's smaller ships imploded. The remaining pair broke formation and shrank into distant points of light. Something in the ceiling clicked. Luke lunged aside and ignited his saber. Down to the deck dropped a brown alien armed with a paddle beamer. Without pausing to think, he swung two-handed. Dev skittered backward.
Master!
Fearwurung swept away from the Jedi and brandished his crippled stump.
Traitor! Betrayer of all you held dear!
The alien swept a silver beam mercilessly and accurately through Dev's shoulders. Dev crumpled. He fell on his back, bitterly regretting his relapse. Luke leapt into a short, suspended somersault and grabbed both edges of the overhead trap door, knowing the big alien would have him in another moment. He could do no more on his own. This was the end. A simultaneous flash from all status screens almost blinded him as he dropped. Commander Thanos must have struck. Bulkheads, decks, and instruments sparkled before they went dim. He sensed Dev's presence, but not the alien's. Thanos' attack had killed him.
Dev!
Here...
Dev, open your mind to me.
As he'd shown Epi Belden how she might heal herself, he gave Dev that knowledge.
Draw on your strength. You can do it. I've got to get us off this ship.
A horrendous cough interrupted him. Automatically, he turned the healing focus onto his chest. Two greedy pinpoints of life gleamed with primitive instincts.
Eat. Cling. Reproduce. Survive.
Leia clenched the armrests of her cockpit chair, frightened nearly numb. The Surook cruiser drifted directionless like a huge, blistered egg.
Rogue leader to Falcon. We're clear to run at the Dominant.
Wait. Bully Commander Thanos into changing course so he can't hit the Suruvi ship again, but don't destroy him. The Alliance could use an Imperial cruiser.
The egg-shaped cruiser loomed closer. Han steered low along its surface, looking for a place to dock the Falcon.
We're coming, Luke, Leia thought.
A terrifying stillness hung where his presence had been. Gloom settled over Garriel Captison like a sticky gray rain cloud when Commander Thanos' Dominant blasted the alien cruiser. Nereus touched his console and ordered,
"Bring up the Prime Minister."
"Uncle Yorg?" "No, he's a good man. Bakura needs him. You can't...
He has become a symbol. I've tried to be lenient with Bakura, and it betrays my good intentions. I give up. I must operate like any other Imperial governor, branding the terror of the Empire upon Bakuran hearts. Unless...
He stroked his chin.
Unless he or another representative of the Captison family would publicly ask Bakura to accept me as his successor. You could save your uncle's life, Garyl. Tell me you'll do so within 3 minutes, and he'll survive.
Conscience jabbed at her from both sides. She couldn't allow Governor Nereus to execute Uncle Yorg, but neither could she ask Bakura to lie down for Wylet Nereus. Garry stared around Governor Nereus's office, taking in plaques, trides, and crystals. Teeth, parasites. What other loathsome interest did he keep hidden? You say you'd let him live, but would you? Or would you infect him with some parasite, like Epibeldon?
That's not alive. 5 stormtroopers entered, one of them pushing her manacled uncle with the business end of a blast rifle.
Yorg stood, straight-shouldered, looking taller in her eyes than Nereus could for all the governor's bulk.
1 offer, Captison. 1 minute to accept. Get on the tridy. Tell your people to lay down their weapons and submit to Imperial rule. To me, as your designated successor. Or die here with your niece watching.
Yorg Captison didn't hesitate. The image of dignity. He pulled his shoulders back.
I'm sorry, Garry. Don't watch. Remember me bravely. Garyl?
Governor Nereus licked his upper lip.
Will you make the broadcast? Perhaps I could sweeten the part.
At that instant, the trooper beyond Uncle Yorg buckled and fell. A piercing electronic whine rose from all 5 troopers' helmets. Garry leapt for the nearest incapacitated trooper, seized his rifle, and waved it in Governor Nereus's general direction. Evidently, he'd hesitated. His ornamental blaster remained in his cross-draw holster. The stormtroopers writhed. Even from a distance, the whine hurt her ears. What was going on? Take off your blaster, Nereus, she said shakily. Whatever this was, it looked like her chance.
You don't even know how to find the safety, Nereus answered,
but he kept both hands on his ivory desktop. Clumsily, Uncle Yorg seized another helpless trooper's blast rifle with his fingertips. The door slid open. Epibeldon marched in. Her round-faced caregiver, Cliss, slunk behind.
Epi brandished a blaster.
Ha! She exclaimed. Got 'em all!
She strode straight to Governor Nereus and lifted the blaster from his holster, then disarmed the stormtroopers.
Cliss, get a vibro knife and cut Yorg out of those binders.
Cliss hustled out, pale and obviously ill at ease in a confrontation.
Garry sympathized with Cliss. Epi's bravura was startling.
You!
He snarled at Nereus.
If those hang, you're dead. Do you understand?
Who are you, old woman? Epi laughed.
Start guessing, youngster. I'm on Belden's revenge.
In the darkness, Luke could think of only one thing to try. He breathed slowly and focused his attention on the pinpoints of living instinct inside his chest. He sensed their ravenous hunger. As panic threatened to immobilize him, he thought of the smell of fresh blood. Sweet, warm, faintly metallic. He extended the thinnest thread of a probe toward one creature. Recognition. Some minuscule awareness understood. He imagined mouth parts pulling free and a head turning toward him. One by one, he drew each parasite upward to the scent. Then, when he could feel it in his throat, he spat it out and crushed it. He lay limp on the deck tiles, too tired to feel triumphant. Sleep beckoned. That was how Han and Leia found him. Han knelt and raised him over one shoulder. Luke swallowed. Bring Dev. Safely on board the Falcon, Leia knelt beside Luke's bunk and rested her head on his shoulder. Delicately, he accepted the link to her strength. Soon, he sat up.
I'll rest later, he insisted.
Really rest. You'd better, but we haven't got time now. We've still got the Dominant to deal with. Its repair crews have probably been busy.
Well, what happened to it?
It blew out its lateral thrusters again, so it can't steer. And signals coming off Bakura are crazy. There's a revolution going on. Luke slid to his feet. The right leg still ached, but not as badly.
I'm ready, he said, but he let Leia support him. They shuffled to the cockpit together. Leia helped him fall into a seat.
Hey, youngster,
Han greeted him.
You look pretty good for a dead man.
Thanks. Luke pointed at the subspace radio.
Anything on there about Gariel Captison?
Yeah, maybe. Some groundside group claims it's got Weilig Nereus in custody. They're barricading themselves inside the Imperial Offices sector of the Bakur complex. I think we can deal with Thanis the way he deserves. Then we'll worry about Nereus. Here goes.
Han swung the Falcon around to deliver a death blow.
Wait! We want that ship. Even damaged, it'd be a lucky catch.
Luke leaned toward the pickup.
All forces... This is Commander Skywalker. Cease fire immediately. Alliance forces confirm on this channel.
The Terthanas flinched as Skywalker's order went out over the subspace radio. During this battle, something had reawakened in him, something that cared, something he'd buried years ago at Alzok 3. Nereus wouldn't hesitate to send him back there, too. He glanced at a red-barred compartment. It hid a lever labeled self-destruct. His career was over. He turned to his aide, a stiff-backed 5-year man.
Abandon ship, all hands.
Crew members might get far enough away to escape destruction. Luke tried to thrust the force across the distance to touch Commander Thanis once more. He couldn't. If Thanis elected to activate self-destruct on the Dominant, Luke could do nothing. Except... Out into the force, he projected calm. Peace. Peace was possible. And this was Thanis' last chance. Thanis stared at his black boots, spotlessly polished on a polished deck. At Bakura, as at Alzok 3, he'd received unethical orders from a superior officer he did not respect. These could be his final moments, sacrificed to an uncaring empire, the legacy of a dead emperor. Or he could recant and admit that he'd misspent his entire life.
Communications, he barked. Give me a channel to Skywalker, wherever he is.
Done, sir.
Peter Thanis faced the communications station.
Commander Skywalker... I must warn you of something. Any contact you have with humans endangers their lives. Nereus ordered me specifically to ensure that you did not return to Bakura. He says you now carry some kind of infestation or plague.
I've taken care of that. Remember, I am a Jedi.
He should have expected that.
If I surrendered the Dominant, would you guarantee that you will release my crew members who conducted this battle under my orders?
Yes. We'll send all Imperial personnel to a neutral pickup point and let them return to their homes, unless any want to defect.
Done, said Thanis. Take me to the Alliance and deal with me as you will.
Skywalker exhaled heavily.
I accept your ship and, temporarily, your person. Shuttle over to my...
He seemed to hesitate.
My flagship. Please bring a medical corpsman. I'll see that he's released as well, but I have another human on board who was badly burned.
Luke, Han, and Leia walked to the Falcon's airlock and waited. Several minutes later, Commander Thanis stepped through with both hands raised. Leia ran a weapons scanner over him. Meanwhile, Commander Thanis' medic trained a medical sensor up and down Luke's body. This way. Luke led away from the top airlock. 3PO sat at the hologram board. Behind him on a single bunk, Dev lay still. 3PO stood.
Greetings, he began cheerily. I am...
Quiet, Leia murmured. Take this pair of binders and attach yourself to Commander Thanis. Escort him to the aft cargo bay. You're designated security until further notice. Luke led the medic to Dev and gently drew a sheet off the youth's scarred, folded arms. He's in a Jedi healing trance, Luke said, and he's in no pain for now. See what you can do for him.
I'll try, but... Frankly, I've encountered energy blast trauma before. There's really nothing I can do. If he regains consciousness, he'll suffer.
Please try, said Luke. Luke rejoined Han in the cockpit.
We've got an invitation, Han announced, from a lady named Epi Belden. She, claims to know you. She's with your friend Gariel at the Bakur complex.
I guess there's a nasty prisoner they want the Alliance to deal with.
The Millennium Falcon swooped through a textured blanket of clouds toward Salastar. Peering between Han's head and Chewie's, Luke spotted a knot of people behind a blast barricade at the complex roofport. A familiar shape waited with them. R2, he exclaimed. A swirl of long blue-green skirts backing away from the blocked-off landing zone was obviously Gariel. The Falcon dropped steadily on its repulsors. Gariel's uncle, the Prime Minister, stood near an unbound, defiant Wylet Nereus. He doesn't look like a prisoner to me, Leia muttered, pointing through the viewport. I'll make you a bet Governor Nereus doesn't intend to surrender the Salastar garrison. He could hold that against all of us for a long time. Han reached for belly gun controls. Don't you dare, Leia shook her head. We're back to diplomacy.
And we've got Commander Thanis. He could surrender the garrison, Luke said.
The Falcon settled to ground with a muffled thud. Leia clenched her seat while Han sprang up and loosened his blaster in its leg holster.
Okay, Goldenrod, Han called into the comlink. Bring Thanis to the main ramp.
Luke stood up more slowly. Leia almost saw two Lukes, one strong, cocky, and victorious, the image he meant to project, and one withdrawn, worried, exhausted, and in pain, tired enough to make mistakes. She squared her shoulders. Do you want to stay on board until it's obvious which way this is going? Sure. Luke scratched the back of his neck. Nereus probably thinks that he killed me anyway. He stepped to one side of the main hatch and unhooked his lightsaber. From there, he could hear without being seen. Be careful. 3PO appeared around the bend in the corridor. Commander Thanis matched his pace step for step.
Your droid tells interesting stories, Thanis commented dryly, despite the fact that he insists repeatedly that he's not much of a storyteller.
Educating the prisoner, 3PO? Commander Thanis had probably gotten an earful of Alliance propaganda. The main hatch hissed and then opened. Leia led the way down the ramp. Commander Thanis ignored the metallic escort he was shackled to and walked, eyes ahead, expressionless. Leia stood forward.
We brought Commander Thanis only to prove that he's in our hands, Governor. He is our prisoner, as I hear you are. Surrender your garrison, and you and all your people may leave Bakura freely, immediately.
Governor Nereus smiled placidly at Leia. Perhaps you forget that I still command 3,000 land-based troops. Furthermore, Imperial survivors are landing all over Bakura in lifeboats as we speak. You have had a single ship surrender to you, that is all.
We've moved the Dominant into a stationary orbit, Governor. Its armaments are locked onto the Salastar garrison. I know it's not designed for planetary assault, but it'll do considerable damage if we give the order.
Someone shoved Leia from the left. Gariel strode between Han and Governor Nereus. She'd knotted her shawl over her skirt out of the way and wedged a blaster rifle under one arm. It dangled, ready to use.
Governor, if nothing else is going to come of your treachery, then I shall make my own small gesture. I resign from Imperial service.
Princess Leia, please accept my congratulations on your victory. Gariel stiffened, turning as pale as if she'd seen a ghost. Luke stood at the center of the Falcon's main hatch, saber in hand but not ignited, looking like a lithe, gray-suited shadow against the Falcon's dark interior. A thin little woman standing next to Gariel brightened and whispered,
"Hello, Jedi."
"No!"
Horror twisted Governor Nereus's heavy features.
"You can't be here! Get back on board! You'll infest us all!"
He whirled towards Gary. With speed that belied his age and bulk, he yanked the blast rifle from her. Nereus fired twice. One bolt deflected off the Falcon's hull. The other flashed toward Luke, intersecting a green-white blade that whipped into its path and deflected it back along its own course. Wylet Nereus fell, blank-eyed. Luke stumbled, too, and Gariel gasped. R2 rolled forward at top speed. Slowly, Luke pressed back to his feet. He waved the little droid back. Leia stepped around Governor Nereus's body toward the Bakurin Prime Minister.
Prime Minister Captison,
If your people choose to rejoin the Empire, we will withdraw and leave you to conduct your own affairs. But if you choose to align yourself with the Alliance, we should negotiate a permanent truce immediately. Captison saluted Leia, then Luke.
Your Highness, Commander, we thank you.
It is not likely, however, that the Imperial garrison will surrender. Luke walked slowly down the ramp.
We have accepted Commander Thanis's surrender, including the dominant, the land-based forces, and the Imperial garrison.
Leia held her breath and waited for Commander Thanis to contradict Luke's statement.
Commander Thanis, Luke continued, you are free from custody. If Bakura's citizens ask the Empire to leave, you will oversee the troops' withdrawal.
Thanis nodded and raised his wrist. 3PO's arm came with it.
Let him go, 3PO, said Luke.
You're just going to trust him? Leia whispered to Luke.
He is not forgetting the dominant. Even if it's not up to full capacity, we hold the high ground. And besides, I have a feeling.
Luke returned to the Falcon to check on Dev. He enveloped Dev with his own strength, trying to anchor the boy's presence more strongly to his ravaged body. Dev returned a wash of gratitude. Then abruptly, light flooded out of the Dev spot in the Force. Luke flinched at its brilliance.
Dev?
The brilliant glimpse faded. Deb Sibwara's presence vanished with it into a vast surging sea of light. The medic glared at his medisensor.
He really didn't have a chance, Commander.
Sometime later, a small hand was laid on his shoulder.
Why? Why did you want to save him, of all people? Asked Gariel.
He'd known suffering. I wanted him to know strength.
You also gave him human compassion.
She slid her hands around his waist, then up toward his shoulders. Pulling him close, she whispered,
Let it out, Luke. It hurts, I know. You'll have joy later. The cosmos balances.
Flinging pretense aside, Luke held her and cried.
Your world is beautiful, he murmured at last. I'm glad to have seen it.
I have no desire to leave again, ever, said Gariel.
Bakura will be sending an envoy to the Alliance, he said gently, trying to mask his last hope. You're perfectly trained for it.
Her cheeks colored. I want to be your ally, Luke, but from a distance. He pushed back a quiet desolation that threatened to send him over another emotional brink. He mustn't think of spending forever alone.
From a distance, he agreed, hesitantly touching her face. But just once, from here.
She leaned into his arms. He kissed her, letting the moment flood his perception, petal-warm lips and the deep, sweet warmth of her life presence. Rank by rank, 1,000 Imperial personnel boarded a large but ancient Bakuran space liner under Commander Petur Thanis's eyes. Bakura wanted the Empire gone. All remaining Imperial war material, right down to the stormtrooper's armor, must be left to the Bakurans, forming the nucleus of their new home defense force. Units of that force would soon join the rebel fleet. At last, the final unit boarded.
Ramp up!
Thanis called in crisp military sing-song. He continued to stand on the ground, at attention. The shuttle lifted and began a slow turn. Thanis turned to the Bakuran guard.
Sir, he said, take me to Prime Minister Captison. If you mean to refit a Carrick-class cruiser for service, you need experienced advice. I know that cruiser.
The Bakuran lowered his Imperial blaster rifle.
Under the Alliance, sir?
Thanis nodded.
That's right, soldier. Under the Alliance. I'm defecting.
In his pilot seat on the Millennium Falcon, Han waved Leia to a seat behind Chewbacca.
Might as well strap in, Leia. Luke has business to finish. It'll just take a minute. Then it's time to head back.
Luke made his way to the primary airlock where Chewbacca had carried Dev's body. Sorrowfully, he reached down and brushed Gary's feather-soft shawl with his fingertips. Chewbacca had wrapped it tightly around Dev's head and shoulders after swathing the rest of him in an old blanket. He'd lost them both, Gariel and Dev. Yet both had touched and taught him. Both would live in his memory. Thanks, Luke whispered. Ready, Luke? Leia asked softly. Luke backed out of the airlock and it hissed shut. Wait a minute. He hurried back to the cockpit, strapped in, and stared out the main viewport. Leia clasped his hand. Han pulled the hatch release, then reversed lateral thrusters. As the Falcon accelerated heavenward, Dev's body plummeted toward Bakura. It finished burning clean and brightly down through the planet's high atmosphere. Luke stared at the meteor, a momentary flare of brilliance, like all life. Nothing really in this sweep of time, but everything in the Force. This is Anthony Heald. We hope you've enjoyed this production of Star Wars, The Truce at Bakura by Kathy Tyers. This program was produced by David Rapkin and directed by Lars Hoel. Abridgment by Trebby Johnson. Star Wars, The Truce at Bakura is a production of Lucasfilm Limited, copyright 1993, all rights reserved. The book, Star Wars, The Truce at Bakura, is available wherever Bantam books are sold.